You're listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Aaron and Dave. Dave, how's it going?
I'm rolling.
You are rolling.
Absolutely rolling
right
now.
That's right.
I'm rolling because I'm going on vacation soon.
That's right.
I love being here. I love being with you, but like starting to hit now. But then again, I'm like, it's still like a week and a half away. It's not there yet. So, oh well, there you go.
That's all right. That's all right. Vacation's coming soon.
Because it's hot out there.
It is hot out there.
It's like Tennessee hot out there.
It sure is. I'm going to experience North Carolina hot next week.
But you're getting the voice down.
Yeah, there
I
you
noticed
go.
That. You just
go.
Got through it
See?
In there. It wasn't like I'm going to make fun of a Southern accent. It was like you kind of threw a little in there.
There you go.
Look what's happened to our Canadian.
That's right.
I like
That's
it.
Right. Sorry. I'll try to talk a little slower and maybe a little bit more like this.
So funny.
To
so
make funny. Fun of my own people.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, no, talk, don't have to talk so slow, you know? Come on, we're a peaceful people.
That's true, that's
need,
true.
You don't need a wall to keep us out.
We'll just shrug and apologize for whatever we did wrong, or for whatever you did wrong, in fact. All right.
So,
so, Dave, today we are doing something very important and very special right now, you know, because this is our season finale.
Yeah, you guys have been waiting for this.
That's
like,
right.
Like, can we be done so I can enjoy the rest of my summer? Come on.
That's right. We gave you a little hiatus, like many good shows do. We gave you a bit of a hiatus,
man.
And then we came back and did a couple more episodes.
We did, yeah.
And then we're taking a little bit of time off.
Aaron and I were like thrown down by all this like work travel, but we weren't together for most of it. Like
no.
You were gone for weeks and I was gone for something different.
Yeah, yeah we had like a little bit of crossover maybe at one event in June possibly.
Yeah.
Were you at the Southern Baptist Convention?
I was at the SBC. Yes, I was. Yes,
go.
I was present. Yeah.
There you go.
Wild.
There you go. I was there. I recorded a different podcast.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
And
that other thing you do full time.
That's right.
There you go.
The Hero of the Story podcast presented by the Gospel Project.
Wow. Look, I like that. You know. Yeah. Who's our hero? I don't understand.
Well, there's this man you've heard of. His name is Jesus.
Jesus, as we call him down in the Southland. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Would you call him up north? But you know, Jesus, it's my boy. It's my friend, mi amigo.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
You know, I hear Jesus is a friend of mine. So we're going to get blasphemous here in a minute if we're not careful,
I don't know
and we don't want to be. So.
This is what happens when you get 20 episodes this season.
That's
so
right.
There
that's
you
right.
Go.
This has been some serious stuff. You know, over the last better part of a year, actually, we have covered a lot of really good topics.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we had a good run for this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Started in January, right?
Yeah, January, February,
yeah, January.
Somewhere
yep.
around there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been really good because we've talked about reading habits. We've heard from some great friends of ours here on the show as well. We've even had a throwback to a lost episode, which was also kind of fun. That was part of the unexpected hiatus that season two took instead of actually having a real season finale. There are still some lost episodes out there, too, which is also exciting.
That's very scary, actually.
They may arrive.
Man.
They may arrive.
You said sometime. Lost again. I just kind of went back to the show.
Yeah. Are you on an island?
I
are you afraid that you died?
I just don't know what happened at the end. That's
okay,
all I know.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to leave it right there.
I'm not sure
we can't spoil that too.
Okay. So
I'm one of those. I love that show. Side note,
right.
Man. I know there's a lot of people who hated it.
I don't know.
Has shared in the past, but Barnabas, you know, it's 50-50. So.
Barnabas loves and hates everything, so all
true.
At the same time.
All at the same time.
All at the
yeah,
same time.
Absolutely. It was a fun escape and
there
helped
you go.
Bridge the gap between what could be done with like The Sopranos having a long story to, you know, primetime television, and
yep.
I think they did a great job, especially for breaking a lot of the rules at the
That's
time.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
It makes me want to go to Hawaii, too. So,
there you go.
It's okay.
There you go.
That's cool.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
What are we talking about?
We've saved a great topic for this last episode, and it's a really Really fun one.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Man.
So, bait and switch.
Bait and switch.
Bait and switch.
You want to explain that one?
So,
to the crowd?
What happens? So, there's a couple of approaches. So, that's our clickbait title for this episode. Mm. So, thank you.
this is like our own version of revisionist history right here.
That's
like,
right.
We're presented with one thing and we got the other.
That's right.
And we were mad. We came with, you know, ready to burn the place down. So
That's right. I had a lot of rage when I presented this this because I just finished listening to a book that had a little bit of a bait and switch going on.
All right.
And I should have seen it coming. But we'll get to that in a second. Here's what I mean when I'm talking about bait and switch though. What I'm talking about is when you go into one book and you're expecting one thing, and it seems to be going in that direction, and then it turns on you and becomes something totally different, and not in a good way. This is not a positive twist. This is more of a frustration kind of deal.
Okay.
There's also another side of it too, which is how do you deal with authors writing actually something good and helpful and true on a particular subject.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that they themselves are not really all that equipped to be talking about such things.
Is the word hypocrisy come to mind? Is that where you're going with that one?
Perhaps. You know, I'm tiptoeing around hypocrisy.
Right. Well, I'm going to dig right into it. I'm going to throw it. So
it's very American.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I'm going to make you pay for it. Sorry.
Hey, no politics on this show.
No politics.
Just rock and roll.
There. where was I even going with that? No,
I'm not
so
even
what?
Sure
yeah,
anymore.
So every author is fallible, right? So
yes.
We operate within a Christian worldview, and how can we expect? I'm not going to name like nothing's happened to these people. People we love, like a Beth Moore, a Max Lucado, like we love the things that they write. I'm just saying people like. I'm just
yes.
authors. Matt Chandler, ones like this, whatever. Like point is, like we love reading their books. A lot of people do, and so. But they're imperfect people. So then we go to the extreme of like, oh man, like someone who's an absolute slimeball, but people love their books. And like, how do they get away? Like, you know, if people knew about Ernest Hemingway, would they still read? Like if they knew a lot about his exploits, like their readers,
yeah,
would they really appreciate him? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe. I mean, like he wrote about like a lot of just like manly stuff, but you know, he's a jerk and you know, the whole macho thing was just kind of crazy. So everyone has like a version. That's like another.
Right.
And then there's people in the middle who write some really good books and suddenly you find out they fall.
Right.
With something that, whatever, fall of grace in whatever way. You know, it's not always one particular thing, but because it becomes an issue because they mm-hmm. wrote about something. And I guess I'll start with my example, but I really want to hear like yours
is totally.
What prompted it. Eric Greitens, I don't know how to say his name.
I'm not sure either.
He was governor of Missouri. He wrote a variety of very good books, but one of them I love was called Resilience. Came out a few years ago. I remember listening to an interview on Art of Manliness podcast, and I think he was on a few different times. And just the virtue of resilience and like, gosh, like, I mean, I've been really going through that with my own girls, trying to teach them how to push through things, you know, that... You know, and there certainly is a biblical application here, but just more like that, that's a virtue that, you know, life isn't going to be easy and you need to learn how to just keep pushing, just keep going, you know, like that's going to happen when you fall off something. You just got to get back up and keep going.
Yeah, a little bit of stick-to-itiveness.
So the governor was caught in an affair scandal, and it really most of the issue had to do with not bribery, but I'm not going to go into details.
There's a lot of really, really shady things.
A lot of weird stuff in terms of blackmail. Blackmail is the word, you know, in terms of of the person. But the point is, he's not governor anymore. He resigned.
No.
And so, but like you look at something like that, does that make that book bad? I have two copies in my house that I was going to give to some people, and I've kind of held on to them because I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah.
So I got someone who's promoting a level of character when he definitely needs some resilience now, no doubt about that. But
mm-hmm.
do I you know, how do you reconcile that? You know, and yeah. there's so many other examples. I'm just giving right. you the latest right. one from a from the, this past year of a book I loved, yet this person had a very hard public fall. And right. so what do you do with that?
Right.
I don't know. I don't have the answer. They've been sitting there. I'm like, there's a couple of people I've wanted to give it to, but they don't know that guy's situation. So yeah. what's the big deal? It's still a great book. And yeah. I don't know. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of like, how do you recommend a marriage book? And then find out that someone has, you know, that person then got a divorce.
That's right.
Or was, yeah. you know, committing adultery or abusing yeah. their spouse or whatever.
Absolutely.
How do you take financial, how do you read a book on financial advice from someone who is then arrested for embezzlement or, you know, or declares bankruptcy because of financial mismanagement or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Mm-hmm. stuff yeah. And so yeah. this is the more serious and challenging topic.
Right, absolutely.
So let's go with the softball first.
Yeah, I'll say one more thing too, because sure. like my life hasn't been changed by reading Resilience, but you absolutely hit on something. Some of the people we're not naming, I know a lot of people who have read their books and they literally have changed their lives.
Yeah.
And so, but the author is in one way, fraud is a very hard way of putting it. But the point is, like, certainly not matching up to what the book is. But the book is right. still is that, like, how do they feel? To me, if I had a book like that changed my life, I'd be like, okay, wow, what do I do with that?
Right.
Now?
Well, and you know, I'll be on in full transparency moments. Yeah. I have some stuff that I've been dealing with that mm-hmm. With some authors who.
Yeah.
They've had books that have been very, very helpful to me in the circles that we run in.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Absolutely.
And just out of respect for that, I'm not going to name names because,
yeah.
you know, I don't want to do anything that's going to reflect yeah. inappropriately on the company gotcha. Here.
I don't know if we have any particular resolution on that besides I would say, listen, It goes into, you know, Paul in Romans, you know, talking about, you know, if I preach for, forgive me the exact words.
It's Philippians, Romans, actually.
It's Philippians.
It's Philippians. He's talking
Thank
about.
You. That's in the Bible.
He's talking about if some are preaching Christ for selfish means, mm-hmm. What do I care? Christ is being preached.
Absolutely.
And there's a degree to which that's certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it still should. I mean, obviously yeah. it's true because it's in Scripture.
Yeah.
This was how he was processing things. Yeah. If the true gospel is being proclaimed through even through people who you know, we may find someday that they are not with us yeah. in the new creation, which is terrifying to think of, by the yeah. way. I certainly hope some of the people that I am concerned about who would be on that list, that I do get to see them there.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
It is one of those things that I think that when it comes to specifically the Christian audience, like things that are diving into the truths of Scripture, we can still look at those things and we can say, okay, these things are still true, even if the person who said them didn't actually believe them themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah,
that and that sounds like a little bit of. Maybe that sounds a little bit like too smooshy for yeah. some people.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's a watch blogger who would be really upset by that right now, but I don't care. they also don't listen to this podcast.
So good.
So, well, they're too busy slamming yeah. people that we also work with. So,
yeah.
yeah.
So good.
So anyway, but I mean, and so I don't, but I don't say that in a, you know, we're all sinners and, you know, we all need grace and all that kind of stuff, those platitudes that we throw yeah. out in our circles yeah. when we don't want to deal with issues.
Yeah.
You know, sure. you and I have talked at various times, and I've talked with other people that I hate. For example, I hate the term moral failing.
Yeah, I do too.
I hate it.
I do too.
I hate it so much.
Yeah.
I saw, actually, it was super painful to read it, but I saw an announcement from another ministry talking about a staff member who was no longer on, who was no longer a part of their ministry, and they handled it so well. Because they didn't say this person had a moral failing. They named what the sin was.
Yeah.
They clearly they had permission to do so.
Yeah.
But even if they hadn't, the way that they phrased things,
yeah, was better.
It was just strong.
Yeah.
The way that it was. That's just a personal rant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it has absolutely nothing to do with the topic that we're talking about. No. So I'm sorry about that.
Let's go back to a more Canadian topic.
Let's go back to a more Canadian topic. A book called Canada.
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 Canada. Canada. By one Mike Myers.
So good.
One of my personal favorite Saturday Night Live performers. From the late 1980s to the early 1990s.
You're just going to leave it right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before you go into it, what are your favorite movies of his then?
We adore Wayne's World 1
yes.
at our house.
Sure.
It is one of the only movies my wife has watched multiple times.
Yeah.
Joyfully.
Yes.
I love So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yes, you have to. It's required viewing for
amazing.
Any Canadian.
It
absolutely.
Is ridiculously awesome. And not enough people watched it. And Phil Hartman is amazing in it, too. So
that's right.
He has just
that's
this
right.
little bit part in it, and it's so good. And actually, the first Austin Powers movie is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean...
They're all fun in their own way.
Well, they're all fun in their own way. But I mean, here's the thing. But I mean, the thing you have to know is with each character, like with each character in each movie he makes, really, it's the same movie multiple, like every time. And the same jokes.
What I love about Mike Myer movies and a lot of the SNL ones is when like some of their like SNL characters cameo in these really big like small parts.
Yeah.
It's like in Austin Powers, Will Ferrell playing Mustafa.
Yes.
It's so ridiculous and so funny.
Yes.
And
that was an early
Will Ferrell.
Before
that's like
people
that was like
realized that
was
Will
like
Ferrell
a
was Will Ferrell.
You know, that was like, hey, we're gonna be nice to this new guy at SNL and offer him this little part. And to me, like It's like him stealing the show in like Wedding Crashers too. It's like the same bit. It's like, okay, this movie has nothing to do with you in so many ways, but you make the movie because of it. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, there you go. That's a whole nother.
That's a whole
We'll
nother.
Save that one for a Barnabas
absolutely.
One at some point.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
If Barnabas comes back.
yeah, we'll see. We'll see we'll about see. Him.
We'll
you know,
see.
Jury's out right now.
That's
so we'll
right.
Just
you
see,
know,
so.
He...
Yeah.
You know, he appreciated his five timers gift.
Ah, that's right. Yeah,
it's
he
true.
Did. You know, he and
vow?
Channing, he can stare into Channing Tatum's eyes
right.
all day long.
That's
so.
Right. And I think he should.
Oh, wow.
But I was reading Canada by, or rather, I was listening to Canada by Mike Myers on my commute this week.
All right.
And I gotta say, this book ended up having a little bit of the bait and switch that I was talking about. It was going one direction, and then it totally went a different way toward the end.
Okay.
And
explain. You gotta
so,
hear it.
So what's interesting about this book, and some of it is that it's a book that was struggling to figure out what it was.
Hmm.
Because it's not entirely a memoir of a comedian. It is a kind of memoir-ish book about his excuse me.
Yeah, you're losing it there.
I am
man.
Losing it. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I'm just having some trouble with, you know, speaking. it is kind of a memoir-ish thing of his relationship with Canada over his then 53 years of life at the time that he wrote it. What is interesting about it, and he is very quick to acknowledge this, is that he spent more of his life outside of Canada now at this point than he did in.
Yeah.
Because he left living in Canada full time in 1983. He moved to England when he was 20.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he, like an
exchange type thing, you know, where, I mean, because I remember living in the UK and all there were Australians and Canadians.
Yeah.
It was just
full
of them.
Well, if your parents...
Students.
Well, this wasn't an exchange thing. It was, for him, it was because his parents are British citizens.
Yeah.
He was able to get a British passport and go and live and work in England.
Okay.
Technically, I can actually do that too, thanks to my dad. But I'm not going to do that.
Here.
I'm in America instead.
Wow.
America.
You're getting it.
Am I getting there?
You're getting there.
Yeah. All right. I like it. So.
I'm looking at the book right now and I'm just utterly confused. So it's got pictures. I know you listen to the audiobook, right?
Yeah.
So it's a $39.95. I don't know if that's in Canadian dollars, but it looks like I'm in Amazon.com, so that's the United States. So it's priced at $40. This book must have like steroids inside or something.
I don't know.
Really?
But I mean, here's the deal with the book. The central question that he's asking in it is, what is Canada? What makes Canada Canada?
Okay.
And and he makes a really good point in it, and it's true that Canada is a nation without a mission statement. It's just kind of there. So we didn't become a nation because of an uprising all ye American types did back in the day.
Uprising.
Over tea and taxes and tariffs. How's that for some alliteration?
It's going to sing Miss Independent for you. That's it, man. We just had to.
Look, I celebrated America Day just like everyone else, okay? And I was afraid that they were going to shoot fireworks into my apartment if I didn't. But
one other note about Canada, it only has 53 reviews, and it published a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
On Amazon.
Well, that's Amazon. Remember, that's Amazon.com.
Yeah, but like, he's got a huge American following.
Yeah, was the book even actually released here?
Is it Amazon.co.ca? Is it Amazon.ca? Amazon.ca. CA, that's
See,
right.
See, I'm looking at it right. So, $28.88 is the regular price. And yes, it has 53 reviews. And most of them are actually quite high reviews, which is nice.
But, all right, so it only has a 79 reviews in Amazon Canada.
Which is, you know, phenomenal for that. So,
is it?
Well, for Amazon.ca.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was just curious.
Oh, yeah, that's huge for Amazon.ca.
Yeah. Okay.
So throughout the book, here's what I actually really liked about the book. I really liked when I liked how he was setting up his relationship with the country, and I appreciated that, and I respected that element of it.
Yeah.
But where the book was its strongest was really when he was talking about, really just about how he like the formative time that led up to his career and the transition between becoming a private from a private person to a public person. And how challenging that is for a Canadian in general. I really appreciated those elements of it. Mm. And then toward the end, he makes a point of saying that he doesn't like being political in his comedy. And then it gets super political. And basically is talking because, again, one of these central things and a highlight that he points to in his formative years was this idea that Canada would be the next great nation. That was this idea that was essentially put forward by sheer force of will by Pierre Elliott Trudeau. the father of our current prime minister in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say anything negative about the head of a nation state that I am a citizen of. However, he's got great hair.
Yeah.
He's got great hair.
That's the mark of a true leader right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. So he's gotten himself into some trouble lately with the G7. Because of saying some things that may or may not be true. But and also some groping.
So back to my virus. So you didn't he went political in the second half.
Super political. So because he was talking about how, great, how because of Canada's status in the world, how it has the opportunity to be this test lab for progressiveness. And okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But he talked about how, after Trudeau, how it seemed like, there was this opportunity for Canada to figure out what our identity was and who we're going to be. And then the tone shifted, and how basically after Trudeau left office, it all went in the toilet. Mm-hmm. And then it was the worst thing ever when Stephen Harper was prime minister, because he was basically the devil incarnate and was trying to make Canada junior America. And because heaven forbid, he should not want the country to be in debt. Oh, my stars. meanwhile, he actually alienated his own supporter base by not going after some of the, not opening up some of the more progressive ideas that were foisted upon Canada to a referendum, which it would have been a constitutionally warranted thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, basically the end of it turned into the story of how he got involved in John Oliver's show at the eve of the 2015 federal election, and how they did a skit on his show how Canadians need to vote for anyone but Stephen Harper, and all this kind of stuff, and going on about how the new prime minister is this symbol of hope about what Canada can be and should be.
Sure.
Here's the thing. It didn't bother me because of his politics. I already knew his politics because, one, he's a Canadian, and two, he's a Canadian celebrity. Canadian celebrities tend to not be socially or fiscally conservative. I get that. It's like anyone who's in the social elite in America. It's very rare for someone to be in that space and like that. This is an incredibly political show right now.
I know. I didn't think we were going this way.
I didn't think so either.
I did not prepare for the Canadian politics.
I apologize, guys.
I did read through a little bit of Canada for Dummies.
Yes.
Which I returned to you.
Yes, you did. Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. See, that was a great book.
Absolutely. Great. That's the way to go.
Yeah. But I gotta finish this, though. Right. Here is the thing that bothered me about it. Is that he was talking about this as though he was someone who actually had any firsthand knowledge.
Yeah.
If you haven't lived in Canada for 30 years, you don't know what it's actually like to live in Canada in 2015.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like to live in Canada in 2018 versus 2016.
Yeah.
I only know what it's like up until the moment I left.
Yeah.
Things have changed since I left.
Sure.
And some for the better, some for the worse. That's how these things work.
Yeah.
But my experience of Canada now is only up to a certain point. And so there's going to be some things that carry over for longer. Mm-hmm. But when your experience of Canada is limited essentially to the most idyllic phase of your life, where you're most optimistic about what the world is going to be like, and not having gone into your 30s or 40s, even when, you know, the world has kicked you a little bit more in that same nation.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit hypocritical.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
From my perspective.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just me being naive.
Yeah.
Maybe that's me being unfair. I don't know. But here's what I will say. I love Wayne's World, and I would absolutely love to buy Mike Myers a soda sometime.
And tell him to stick to his day job.
No, and just talk to him.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, that's the thing.
The reality is, I'm sure he's probably got some, you know, he has a perspective, and you're
absolutely
right. It's a little displaced in terms of, like, where he's lived lately. But
I mean, my deal is if we talked about this book, it would be like, help me understand this.
Yeah.
Not, hey, here's why, not have my ranting screed that I just did.
Well, he certainly could have had a chapter about Canadian politics in a basic fun level.
Sure. You know,
but going into like, hey, I'm the authority on this, that's certainly going to be trickier. No, celebrities and their perspectives on politics is always amusing.
Well,
but I'll say this. Ones who pretend to know everything, some pick an issue. And they just focus on it. I think it's great. Like, you know, it's what it seems like Ashton Kutcher has a genuine desire to understand human trafficking and to be a part of stopping it. I believe that from what I see. And yes, he's probably good at PR too, but also, like, I get it, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of other actors that I'm like, well, okay, really? You really think you can tackle this one?
Yeah.
But then again, we have in the United States elected an actor, a interesting entertainer. I don't know what we're going to call him right now, but there you go.
Reality TV host / entrepreneur.
That's a way of putting it. Yeah.
I mean,
but the point is, like,
character?
For better or worse, whether you hate or love Trump or whatever, feel in the middle. Not many people feel in the middle. But the point is, like, we're willing to accept in politics that we have someone who doesn't come from that view.
Yeah.
Now, Ronald Reagan spent a lot of time in the political world leading up to that point. There's a big difference there. But whatever. Man, this is not – yeah, I didn't think we were going.
No, here, you know, I didn't
– I would
to
love
go this
to talk
way
through all these things. Either. I just don't think – I think this is a bait and switch.
You know, we did it. We bait and switch.
Like, when did we talk about reading at all in this podcast?
We talked about a book I read.
This is the worst way to end a season,
you know,
right?
So we're going to have to recover
this. Worst.
We're
going
to have to recover
this,
guys.
Maybe a new season's
no,
worth.
Well,
that.
No, we need to recover this in this episode.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right. Absolutely.
Show me the way.
You know.
Show me the way.
So we talked about a lot of heavy things today, and we went off script a little bit. And if you stuck with us through my Canadian ranting, you know, this is the most most upset I've been in, you know, since, oh gosh, maybe since the last time the Leafs almost made the Cup.
Oh, almost.
Almost.
Like, almost.
Almost. Almost.
The Caps got it this year.
You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Maybe next year. Maybe next year, eh?
All right, what are you reading? What do you got?
Oh, man.
I know.
I am rereading.
Reread a book?
Rereading.
Oh.
I reread books, Dave.
Man.
I love it right now.
Man.
Because I needed something that was just just bonkers and amazing and silly. So I'm rereading Dark Knight's Metal by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. It is a graphic novel that our good friend Russell Moore of the RLC is a big fan of as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There's, you know, what's great when you're paying attention to his Twitter is just how much he likes comic books. But
so funny.
It is funny. Like, you never know what people are going to enjoy.
Yeah.
But this whole this graphic novel was this event series that DC Comics published. Back through the started like last fall kind of thing and wrapped up earlier this year.
Yeah.
And it is just completely bonkers.
Wow.
It is amazingly silly and weird and just fun. So that's why I'm reading it.
Okay.
So it's like making, it's making my heart happy.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And it's Crazy Town.
It's Crazy Town.
Aside from that, I'm continuing to read Gay Girl Good God by Jackie Hill Perry.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm also doing one more because apparently I always have
three.
You
have three, yeah.
I always have three. Grit by Angela Duckworth. Actually, a few of us on my team here at Lifeway, we are reading that together.
I have to look it up again to make sure it's the one I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Angela Duckworth. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Power of Persistence.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah. So that's what I'm reading, eh?
Okay.
What about you?
I'm reading about an American legend known as Tiger Woods.
Nice.
So, no, it's the it's the latest bio on him from this past year, and
how many have they done?
I don't know, but this is the most comprehensive, I would say. But it is certainly he has not done his own autobiography.
Okay.
I'd say in about 10, 15 years, he can write an amazing autobiography that will sell millions.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a little bit more TMZ, although that's an exaggeration. It's just more like it's a lot of firsthand quotes from people from other sources. That makes sense. Jumper just like quotes from TV from people, and it's researched as well as probably could be, but it's still like a secondary bio. I'm just amazed at the way he was raised, and you're not surprised at all about what he has gone through in terms of, you know, his infidelities to also why he has been such an amazing player. And just, and Brooke and I had a really interesting conversation about it, just because, you know, raising our girls, and we want to expose them to things, we want to challenge them in things, but we just think, like, I said, Brooke, you know, the whole Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 rule thing, right? So 10,000 hour rule.
Yeah.
You know, in order to master a certain discipline, you need to spend 10,000 hours on it, right? Well, most people in their respective sports, I mean, it takes decades. Tiger Woods was doing that with golf before the age of like 8.
Yep.
So just like do the math. Like when the age of 2, when he was starting to like play seriously, 2, and his dad was like on the, you know, as soon as he could, like, you know, he was on like Johnny Carson at age 3.
What?
Earl Woods' dad from the beginning was promoting him, and he certainly had a plan. But it's a complicated father-son relationship. You've got a dad who Tiger essentially followed his ways, if, you know, you're following me.
Yeah.
You know, but is that what it takes to make a champion? You know, it's like, you have to ask that question, like, to do that, you know? And well, I don't know. I just like these days, like, it also just raises these questions, like, what does it take to raise, challenge a kid if they're, you know, acclimated to sports, you know? And so Earl Woods was into golf at that time of life. You know, he was in the military before, but just really interesting. I don't know. I followed him, his career, because I played golf growing up, play a little bit still, not that much, but it's been interesting to see his rise, fall, and trying to rise up again. It's fascinating. So I'm cheering for him to find Jesus. You know, that would make the best story right there, but you know, we'll see. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that, and I'm reading Killing Pablo by Mark Bowden, Pablo Escobar. So a good old it's Wild West in Colombia
I love this.
On, man. 80s and early 90s, those wild times for you. Come on.
Man.
It's great. Those books are fun to me. So.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, I got to say, this has been the most fun season of this podcast yet.
Been a great season. Thanks for having me to do this.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely.
All right,
we will reveal more later.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Guys, we will we'll be back in a little while with some new episodes and a surprise or two. So
I'm a little scared, and you should be too.
Absolutely. All right. Will it be amazing or will it be a bait and switch?
Ooh, wow.
You'll have to tune in to find out. Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating and review on iTunes. Your feedback helps more people find the show. You can find me on Twitter at Aaron Strongarm. And for more content, including reading recommendations, please visit bloggingtheologically.com.